give you a quick sense of what it was like davening with Rav Amital and listening to Rav Amital Sichot. Obviously, a great sefer to buy is When God Is Near, Eight Ratzon, and to actually read these Sichot, I see a lot of the MTA boys, Dafka, the South Africans, Australians, have that sefer, so I don't know if still get it in the office. Maybe one of my Jochim can get a few. It's really a good sefer to read leading up to Yom Kippur. Rav Amital gave four or five legendary Sichot, but the most pitch one, he'd be crying, he'd be tearing. The Sichot that I'll never forget were the Sichot before Ne'ilah. In fact, the year after he died, and Rav Meidan now gives the pre-Ne'ilah speech, and believe me, it's very powerful and very passionate, as you can imagine. But the year after Rav Amital died, Sally, is everything all right? The year after he died, so I sat down, because I moved to the front then, because I wanted to hear the Sicha. I sit closer to the back, and I sat right next to Rabbi Bazak. We happened to be sitting together for the Sicha. And now you can't, you have to stay in your capsules, but the minute was, just grab a seat somewhere, listen to the Sicha. And as Rav Meidan began to speak, I looked at Rav Bazak, and we both broke down and started sobbing like babies. We were just crying like, how can we even imagine entering Ne'ilah without Rav Amital speaking to us? Thanks, Shlomo. So I want to give you a little bit of a sense, and in particular, one thought of Rav Amital, which is absolutely revolutionary. It will change your life, it will change your Yom Kippur, it will change your Ne'ilah. I put out the shiur. It's the only shiur that I plug on social media. I tell you, you have to listen to the shiur. And people who listen to it say, thank you for plugging it. Thank you for pressing it. The concept of Ne'ilah, the Yishalmi says, Minayin L'Ne'ilah, source number one, Amar B'Levi, Kolam Marbe B'Tfilah Nena. It's to add tefillah, to increase tefillah, to augment tefillah. And Ne'ilah is not a Yom Kippur experience. Ne'ilah is an experience that took place every single real Tainas Tzibur. We don't have real Tainas Tziburs anymore. All of our Tanios are just memorials to past bygone days. But in the days of Chazal and Beis Din, if there wasn't enough rainfall, there'd be a Tainas Tzibur. If there was a war threat, there'd be a Tainas Tzibur. If there was a pandemic, there'd be multiple series of Tainas Tzibur. Maseches Tainos maps out how these Tanios were instituted. So there were multiple, and many of them you fasted at night, and many of them you couldn't work. So this whole world of Tainas Tzibur, the last vestige we have is Yom Kippur. It's a Tainas Tzibur through Davening Ne'ilah. So Ne'ilah is not a Yom Kippur experience, it's a Tainas Tzibur experience. We only encounter it on Yom Kippur. But the prospect of adding tefillah in halacha is very, very provocative. We don't add tefillahs, because when we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we stand in awe. We stand feeling limited and frail, and the concept of adding tefillah would strip the transcendence of the moment. It would be like Nadav and Avihu freelancing in the Beis HaMikdash. All of our tefillahs, thank you, are taken from David of Ashiri, David Avdecha. All the phrases we say are taken from Moshe Rabbeinu, Kel, Agadol, Ve'agibor, Ve'anara. We don't start listing a laundry list of Hashem's praises, because if we started, we could never stop. Yatziv, Nachon, Kayam, Yashar is not about Hashem, it's about Hashem Elokeichem Emes. That dogma is Yatziv, Nachon, Kayam, V'Yashar. We would never have a laundry list of our own phrases of Hashem, because that would be heretical, that would be too insolent towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Guys, please sit down, we don't have that much time, so hurry up, okay? That would be too insolent towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We daven three times a day only because we had three avos that daven three times a day. So we don't really add tefillos. So Rav Amital fell, how can we just add a tefillah on a tiny sibor? What right do we have to add a tefillah? What right do we have to be marbit tefillah? So Rav Amital would teach us each year that you have to discover a new voice of tefillah during Ne'ilah. If you're just going to daven in Ne'ilah the way you normally daven, then you're adding tefillos, and adding tefillos is, as I said, diluting the transcendence of standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're very careful about how you move, and you're very, very jurisprudent, and you're very, very circumspect. You don't just add tefillos. So you have to find a new voice on Ne'ilah. Now, I'd like to stop for a second. Rav Amital would obviously give this sicha before Ne'ilah, and a lot of this has to do with Ne'ilah, but a lot of what I'm about to say is relevant to Yom Kippur in general. So every time I say the word Ne'ilah, just rephrase it as Yom Kippur. You've been davening, 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 and just like Ne'ilah is the end of Yom Kippur is the end of this period of davening, and obviously we're not going to continue davening on Tuesday, but it's a climax, it's a culmination of a lot of our efforts. So whatever I said about Ne'ilah, it's really easy to translate into general davening. Number one, How do we change our ni'ilah davening? How do we find a new voice? One of them is, and I tried to highlight this when we spoke about Rosh Hashanah, step out of yourself. Step out of your cell. Try to daven for broader people. Try to daven for the Jewish people. Try to daven for people who can't daven. Try to daven people who don't understand what Yom Kippur is. Yom Kippur, you don't really daven so much for non-Jews. Yom Kippur is a very Jewish experience, unlike Rosh Hashanah, which is much more universal. You certainly, there's nothing wrong with thinking about humanity, and to the degree that our fate seems to be tethered to the fate of humanity, you can certainly daven for the two, but the focus, unlike Rosh Hashanah, where I try to flex your imagination and get you to step out of only thinking about Jewish history, Yom Kippur is Moshe Rabbeinu, Har Sinai, Egel Hazav, Kapara, a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a much, much more contracted experience, but there's certainly a lot of Jews you could daven for. I'll never forget the Yom Kippur about 20 years ago, maybe a little bit earlier. There was a story of an Israeli firm soldier who wanted to daven Ne'ilah. And he asked his non-firm Russian colleague, other soldier, do me a favor, can you take Shmirah for me during Ne'ilah? I want to daven, I'll make it up to you later in the week. I'll take one of your Shmirah. And it just so happened there was some Syrian sniper fire, and that Russian soldier was killed during Ne'ilah. And I asked myself, after hearing that story, whose Yom Kippur was of greater worth in Shemayim? I'm going to say this question in a polarity that I don't intend, but I have to say it for illustrative purposes. I don't mean to create this polarity and friction. I mean to create poles, and hopefully you can combine the poles. A Jew in Borough Park who wasn't really attuned to protecting our land and building our land, but was in the shtibul and davening? Or a Jew didn't daven, this Russian soldier, but basically gave his life for the protection of our land, in this case, for the ability of a Jewish soldier, firm soldier to daven. And the answer is, we don't judge. There's enough room in Olam Haba for everyone. We're not, this isn't the Olam Haba Olympics. Who gets the Olam Haba, gets the gold medal, gets the silver medal. But just to imagine Yom Kippur beyond your shul. Imagine Yom Kippur beyond the yeshiva. Think of all the yidden who need you to daven on Yom Kippur for them. And try to lock into that, and especially in Ne'ilah. I'll just quote a quick Zohar for you, just so you can have a little bit of contact with the Zohar. Source number 3-2, Amr of Shimon. Tzlosa, the davening, source number 3-2, Desagin, Salakame Kuchabrichu, the davening I stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misater Behut Tzlosa, and he collects all the davenings that people give, begin the Salka Begavenin Sagin, since they come in different forms, and different diversity, and different people, and that creates a crown or a tiara for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, all in very, very Kabbalistic terms. So if you're davening for yourself, oh, it's just another tefillah. But if you're davening, and I hope you've started to daven beyond yourself, to daven on behalf of, then there's an innovative element to your tefillah. It's not just adding a tefillah. That's number one. Number two, and certainly now, and certainly by Ne'ilah, the Rambam, which I didn't quote by accident. I quoted the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. It's the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet. The Rambam says, one of the hallmarks of a Baal Tshuva is you try to change who you are, you change your identity. It has to be holistic. You don't just focus telescopically on actions and failures and flaws. You want to make wholesale change, your value system, your life, your orientation, your level of seriousness, your level of engagement. And some Baalei Tshuva, in order to stress that or underscore that, actually used to change their names. There's a minhag in the world of Tshuva to change your name, to say I'm a different person. And the Rav talks about, well, if you're a different person, that's why you get kafara, because I'm not the person that committed the crime. I'm a different person. I don't deserve to be punished for Ezra's crime. I'm reserved for the former me's crime because I'm a new person. So can you reach the stage where either on Yom Kippur or during the Ne'ilah say, oh, this is a new person appearing in front of your HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've davened and davened and davened. I've worked and worked and worked. This is a new person. All those previous tefillos, they were offered by someone else. Here I'm coming, Mishana Shmo. Can you transform into a different person, certainly after fasting the whole day? I feel one of the ideas I want to try to break you into in Ne'ilah is davening authentically takes 2 minutes. It's one heart, one tear, one prayer. But Yom Kippur is a great way to break yourself down. Break down your ego, break down your conceit, break down your artifice, break down your denial, break down. And then all of a sudden, you haven't eaten for 24 hours, maybe you've slept less, you're no longer part of this world as much as you were in the past, and now you're ready to pour your... Now you're ready. Now you've broken yourself down. It's a process. Now you're able to open your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here's the biggie. I'm happy we have enough time to get to the biggie. This is what changed my Yom Kippur. As a child, I always found the image of Ne'ilah very abrasive and very inconsistent with Yom Kippur. The entire Yom Kippur, I imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a merciful father who treats me tenderly, who offers me forgiveness, who offers me grace, who offers me rehabilitation. And then all of a sudden, 180, it's Ne'ilah. The doors are closing. The iron gates are shutting. I'm in desperation mode. Can I please send up a tefillah to Hashem before? If Hashem is so kind, why does he all of a sudden become such a harsh door guard and harsh sentinel, and all of a sudden everything's shutting down? I always found that shift to be inconsistent. Hashem was somebody, I'm still diving a little more. My imagery was off. That was the imagery we're all taught. Everything's closing. Last chance. Gates are about to close. And Rav Amital completely overhauled that prospect. To understand it, you have to understand Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is the book between a man and a woman, a courtship, a duet of courtship that is always fraught with difficulties. Because they're uneven, they're not the same. He's a king, she's a peasant girl, she's immature, she betrays him. It's a gloss for Jewish history. Hashem is the male, we're the female. We're always trying to get together with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We had this shot at eternity in the desert. We were in love. We were God's chosen. Let me say it to you differently. Okay, just to wake you up. See, a lot of people are tired today. It's the end of the week. This was the original plan. History was meant to last 2,448 years. We were meant to exit Egypt on Nisan, 15 Nisan, receive the Torah, Vav Sivan. It takes 11 days to walk from Har Sinai to Israel. We enter Israel around June 15th, just to put it into, it was no June, but making it into high school terms. June 15th. Fight some supernatural wars over the summer. Annihilate 31 pagan kingdoms. And then, Rosh Hashanah time, more or less, utopia, end of time. The last 3,500 years of history are one long detour or one long mirage. Jews were not meant to live in Spain. Jews were not meant to live in Poland. Jews are not meant to live in Iraq. Jews are not meant to live in the Five Towns, not in Chicago. Everything is just one big mirage. Whatever you've experienced has been a detour. You're on a big detour. Big, big, in your own ways, big detour. And we blew it. We caused the detour. We caused the accident. And then history was rerouted and derailed. And Shir HaShirim is about trying to get back together with Hashem. And the way Shlomo captures it is this story between a man and a woman. That's the metaphor. In Parakeh, after the man has tried to hint, and I want you, and I'm inviting you, and please come to my palace, and please let's meet. And she just doesn't get it. She's like, okay, I can't wait anymore. Comes knocking at the door. Call Dodi Dofek. Get up. Oh, you don't have to come. You don't have to visit my palace. You just open the door. And if you know Shir HaShirim Parakeh, okay, she's too lazy to even open the door. Sound familiar? How many Jews returned with Ezra? 42,000. How many Jews stayed in Babel? Hundreds of thousands, not millions. Too bad. Second Beis HaMikdash could have been utopia. Blew it again. I hope we don't blow it a third time. So he's knocking, and she's very lazy. And then finally, let's read it now. Ani Yishena V'Libi Er, Source 4. Open up for me. I'm outside. I'm cold. I'm wet. It's dark. She says, oh, gotta look at me. I'm already in my pajamas. I don't want to get up and open the door. I need to get dressed again. I've already cleaned my legs. I'm going to get them dirty. I live in, fill in the blanks, manicured lawns, polished malls. I'm going to go back to dusty Israel with wars and Arabs and history and hummus.
I'm clean.
I'm on the sidelines. It's quiet here. I've discovered suburbia. I don't want to go back to Bible land. That hot struggle, history, all these phrases that Vitarian says all the time with this pen. I want to relax. So he says, you know what, just take my hand. I know you can't open the door, but he says, you can't really do it here, but just take my hand. Just take my hand. Here it is. Yado shalach menachar, just take my hand. So she finally gets up. This is the key pasuk. Come, t'ani liftach. Can you hear that? Come, t'ani liftach, l'dodi. She finally gets up. V'yadai natfu mor, and her hands are full of perfume. V'etzbosai mor aver. Maybe it's his hands. It's fragrant. Al kapot amanul. And his hand is on the opening of the door, and she's opening the door. And look, they're about to get together. And then she doesn't open it fast enough, he disappears. That's the drama. Sad. She's trying to let him in. There's a gate. There's a door. Only one person can open the door. That's the woman. He can't open the door. He's knocking. He's pleading. He's desperate. She's trying to open the door. At some point, too little, too late, but to let him in. That's the story in Shir HaShirim. That's the historical, national narrative of history. And according to the Medrash, that is exactly what's happening on Yom Kippur. Let's read the Medrash. It's quoted by the Beit HaBachaye, source number 5. Kam t'ani liftoach l'dodi, v'yadai natfu mar. Kam t'ani liftoach ze yotzer. It means shachris. You get up in the morning. Source number 5. V'yadai natfu mar ze mosef. Etzbosai mar aver ze mincha. Al kapot, look at me. Ha-man'ul, what does man'ul sound like? Man'ul? Ne'ila. That's ne'ila. Man'ul. So if that story in Shir HaShirim is a metaphor for Yom Kippur, and that last-ditch effort to open the lock is what characterizes Ne'ila, please get this, guys. So what's really happening with Ne'ila? Up there, whether my tefillos are able to slither through Shamayim? What gate? Where's the drama? The gates in Shemayim? No, what gate? The gate of my heart. Hashem wants to come in. Hashem's a male. Hashem, please let me in. I'm trying to get in the gate. It's Ne'ilah. I'm trying to get in. Please open up. Hashem has the key to every single gate in this universe. Su she'arim rasheichem v'inasu pischei olam. He can enter at will. V'yavo melech hakavod. Su she'arim rasheichem. But he created one small membrane that he can't pass through. And that's the heart. And he can only enter if you let him in. And the drama of Neil, it's all about altitude. Is that what's happening in Shemayim? It's what's happening in my heart. Am I awakening? Am I responding? Hashem is pleading to get in. The whole Yom Kippur, he's outside. Shachrus, let me in. Musaf, let me in. Mincha, let me in. Now, Ne'ila, just turn the door. It's a game changer. I stop thinking about a cruel, merciless guard at a gate closing the gate for my tefillos. And I start thinking about, is my heart open to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Can I let Hashem in? It's now Yom Kippur. Can I let... The gates that are closing are not the Sharei Shamayim. The gates that are closing are the Sharei Deliva. Is my heart. I'll answer you afterwards when I stop it. My heart, is my heart open? It's a game changer. That's what I've thought about every Ne'ilah since I've heard it, this Medrash. Hashem has been trying to get into me, into my heart, for my whole life, and certainly in Yom Kippur. And now, how hard can I work to let him in? And now it's a last-ditch effort, and can I open by heart? Hashem is pleading, let me in. I want to be part of you. I want to come into your world. And I can't. Hashem can't. He created a zone that he doesn't have the keys for. It's called Bechira Chavshis. We're the only person who could admit him. And that's what makes Ne'ila unique, obviously, but also characterizes the whole Yom Kippur. Not just Ne'ila, though Ne'ila is very pitched. It's the last-ditch effort to open your heart. The second, or the now it's the fourth, we talked about davening for the Tzibur. We talked about davening as a new person. You're different. I feel, again, I'm just trying to give you down to the bone statements to ask yourself so that your experience is raw rather than formulaic or rather than extrinsic. It's now Thursday night. About 72 hours, right, from Yom Kippur. 96 from the end. Will there be a different you in 96 hours? If not, then it's sad. It's sad if nothing really changes. To get there, you have to work really hard. You have to be very existential, very courageous, very honest. Follow through on your self-introspection. Follow through on your probing. And to a degree, if it doesn't change immediately, but somehow the pitch and the intensity of Yom Kippur. As I'm sure you know, there are some people, not this year, it struck me today, this year, we've dealt with all the regulations and all the restrictions. We're actually making a large break. We used to have no break in the Shiva. Yom Kippur davening started at 6 and ended at 6. This year we're going to have a large break, and we're going to force every single one of you to leave the Beis Medrash. We're not going to let anyone stay. Because we want to air it out, we want to make sure there's ventilation. But I'm sure you know that there's a minhag for people to come and spend the entire 24 hours in shul. Anyone have seen this in their shul? Not so much in mine. I saw this. I used to see in my old shul in Baltimore, visiting my grandparents, people would come with a little pillow and like a little small blanket and just spend all night in shul, davening, saying Tehillim, sleeping on a bench. So you don't sleep, you don't eat, you don't drink, you're davening, it's hot, all of a sudden it's like a... But third of all, can you daven to let a Kodesh Baruch Hu into your heart? Can you just open your heart and feel like, okay, I'm not denying Hashem, I'm not running away from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then finally, the fourth voice of tefillah, about Ni'ilah, but Yom Kippur in general, and I'll tell you a famous story and then we'll end. If you look at source number, very quickly, 15, Rivash Ben Yitzchak Bar Shesh is one of the great Rishonim. He was asked how to daven, and he quoted a French Rishon, Rabbeinu Shimshon of Kinon, Shai Rav Gadol Mechol B'nei Dar, who was a big rabbi, V'gamani Zachor Mimenu, I heard of him, he says, Rivash, how do you daven? Ani mispalel as a ketinok. I daven like a little baby. Has a little baby, he asks, doesn't really know what it wants. Just screams, asks, Hashem, can you reach the stage where you're not even sure what you want? You lay yourself bare. You become too innocent. One of the interpretations of V'chol b'nei Adam Yavru l'fanecha kivnei marom is like sheep. Why do we compare ourselves to sheep? That's the one that factors into Nisan HaTokev. Kivakaras roa edro. There are three pshats in the Gemara. What V'chol b'nei Adam Yavru l'fanecha kivnei marom is. One is like soldiers. One is like sheep. One is like people walking single file up a mountain. But the sheep image is the one that the author of Nisan HaTokev adopted. Kivakaras roe edro mavir tzono tacha shifto. And sheep are innocent. They don't even know what they want. Do you know what you want? Honestly, do you know what you want? Or is this a murky sense that you want something better, but you're not even able to articulate it, which is fine. That's part of being your age and trying to grow and trying to find new ideas and trying to be honest about change. And do you want to live? Or do you want to be with Hashem? Which is more important to you? Again, very, very hard-cutting question. What's more important to you? Now, obviously, I tried to tether the two last night. Hashem wants you to live. It's better being with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But you're allowed to say, I don't know what I want. I'm just a child. I'm coming to you in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. When Shlomo Melech inaugurates the Beis HaMikdash, he's aware of this, that this will be a site of tefillah. Ki Beisi Beis Tefillah, it's like Shlomo Tishaya. Beisi Beis Tefillah Yikari L'chol Amim. And he says, people are going to daven here. They may not know what they want. But Hashem, look into their hearts and you take their tefillos and their sincerity and you grant them what they need. Source number 14. Kol techfila, Shlomo says. Kol techina, Melachim Aleph Perches. This is the opening speech of the Beis HaMikdash, Melachim Aleph Perches. Whatever people will say, Asher yedun ish nega levavo. People know that there's something afflicting their heart. They just don't know what it is. Ufaras kapav elabai says that they spread their hands out. Ata tishma shamayim mechon shiftecha. You know their hearts better than they do. Look into their hearts and take their amorphous, nebulous, incoherent ideas and know me better than me. Hashem, you know me better than me and take me for that. So it's an innocence and a purity and an impotence and an inadequacy. Don't feel like you have to come in all of a sudden. I'm ready, I've got my books, I've got my svarim, I've got my sikhar, I'm ready.
I don't really know what I need. I've been beaten down. I know that you're my father, and I know that you're my creator, and I know that you're my redeemer, and I know that you're compassionate, and I want to do the right thing and help me find the way. So this brings me to the last story I'll tell you. Reb Levi Yitzchak, the famous Reb Levi Yitzchak, the great defender of Jewish people. You've heard Reb Levi Yitzchak's stories, right? How much he tried to defend the Jewish people. Just tell you the famous Yom Kippur of Levi Yitzchak's story. Yom Kippur was the day to come out of the closet. People would wait the entire year to come out of the closet in Yom Kippur. Coming out of the closet in 19th century means to show everyone that you're an atheist. You're no longer religious. So they'd wait for Yom Kippur time, everybody would walk into shul in their kittel, you'd take a ham sandwich and you'd stand up in the public square and stop munching on the ham sandwich just to show everyone you're no longer part of the tribe. So one year, a Jew was eating a ham sandwich and Levi Yitzchak went over to him and said, you know it's Yom Kippur, right? He said, yeah, Rabbi. He said, you probably don't know it's Yom Kippur. That's why you're eating. He said, no, Rabbi, I know it's Yom Kippur. He's trying to, like, give him an out. You probably don't know it's Yom Kippur, right? He said, no, Rabbi, I know it's Yom Kippur. Oh, he says, you must have doctor's instructions. You're sick. You have to eat. No, Rabbi, healthy as a beet. Ready to go. Well, you don't know it's a ham sandwich. You probably think you're probably eating some roast. No, Rabbi, it's ham. It's Yom Kippur. I'm ready to go. They tried to, like, give him out. And so Levi Yitzchak looks to Shemayim and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Miki Amcha Yisrael, look how beautiful Jews are. They're so opposed to lying, they'd rather embarrass themselves and tell a lie. Look how wonderful the Jews are. It seems very quaint in our world, but can you love? We'll talk a lot about Avas Yisrael this year. So one year, Levi Yitzchak, and he gave incredible drushes. I mean, my bucket list in Shemayim, really, really high on my bucket list, is to have a chavrusa with Reb Levi Yitzchak and Reb Amitel. Because in many, many ways, they were cut from the same cloth. Reb Levi Yitzchak had a sense of an incorporated Am Yisrael, even for those who weren't religious, before Medinas Yisrael. When I say, how do Jews belong to Judaism without religion? You say, Israel, Zionism. That's what it's there for. Levi Yitzchak lived in the 19th century before there was an organ of inclusion. He was able to conceive of an inclusive role, that there's a group of Jews that are still part of Jewish destiny. And when Rav Levi Yitzchak would speak, he'd speak to the people and he'd speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'd be giving two sichot, one to the people, one to Hashem. He'd be talking to Hashem. He'd be arguing with Rav Amital spoke. It's like Rav Amital was speaking to us. Sometimes you can hear it in my voice. Sometimes if you listen to some of my recordings and sharing, you can hear me speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Rav Amital coming out from my veins. So one year, Levi Yitzchak was davening, and it's Ne'ilah time, and he comes to the end, and he stops. Everyone gets really, really nervous. And he stops. 2 minutes pass. It's the end of davening. Sun's setting. You have to finish. No one dares interrupt him. He's just silent, statue. Dead silence. 2 minutes pass. 5 minutes pass. Nothing. He's a shliach tzibur. He's not... People start to get anxious. The sun is literally about to dip beneath the horizon. And he quickly blurts out the end of the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, melech malchut v'salech lav, v'raseinu v'lam, v'raseinu v'lam, v'raseinu v'lam, v'raseinu v'lam, v'raseinu v'lam, melech ha'kodesh v'kadosh Yisrael v'yom Kippur. Quickly. And he finishes Nila right under the gun. Everyone finishes davening. They gather outside in the courtyard and say, Levi Yitzchak, v'as haistach? What happened? He said, I saw that my tefillos were glancing out of Shemayim. Every tefillah I was sending to Shemayim was just ricocheting away. They weren't being effective. Just to start babbling and talking wouldn't help anyone. So I was trying to find a strategy to get past all these deterrents for my tefillah. I didn't know. And then I remembered a trick we used to play on our mother. Our mother kept all the candies in a closet. She'd give out candies when we deserved them. But when my sisters and I really wanted to get some candy, we'd gather underneath the closet, and I would stand there and scream, Baruch atah Ado Elokeinu melech ha'olam shehakol nihya bidvaro. And my mother was stuck. She had to open the closet, give me a candy, so it wouldn't be a bracha levatala. It's a great way to trick your mother. I said, I'll play the same trick on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to blurt out, Baruch atah Ado Elokeinu melech melech mochel v'soleach, you're the mochel, you're the soleach lavonoseinu v'lavonos amobeis Yisrael u'mavirash moseinu b'chol shana v'shana. Then Hashem's going to have to give us mechila, so it shouldn't be a bracha levatala.
So that's what I did, and it worked. Rabbi Yitzchak decided that year to daven like a child. I'm not coming here with my fancy, sophisticated tongue. Child, Hashem, make a bracha. Now it's your turn. Those are four voices to try to capture in Yom Kippur and on Ne'ilah. Number one, collective. Number two, transformative. I'm a new person. Are you the same person? Don't just think forward 96 hours. Are you the same person that started a month ago? I hope the answer is no. Hope you can identify. Oh, here, right? Rav Kook used to say, Yom Kippur is not just about confessing your sins, it's also about taking pride in your accomplishments. Don't become so melancholy. It's also, what have you accomplished? You accomplished a lot of things over the last month. How have you changed? What parts of your personality have you added? What have you discovered? Don't overlook them on Yom Kippur. Don't aggrandize them, don't inflate them and camouflage your flaws, but still be sensitive to them. I'm a new person, Hashem. Whatever happened in high school, that's high school. Whatever happened in Detroit Station, you know, leaving it. But now I'm here, and I'm ready. I'm ready to roll. Number three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to come. It's not about the iron gate shut and closed in Shemayim. It's about my soft membrane that I just can't open enough, and please give me the strength and the courage to just take that bungee jump and leap and say, Hashem, I really want to be a better person. I know to be a better person. I need you in my life. And I need to be passionate about it. And number four, can you daven without really knowing what you want? And you get so desperate, you say, Hashem, Hashem, and you'll feel desperation, Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is basically 45 minutes of screaming, conducted by Rav Medad. Perfectly. You know where you are. It's like some other world experience. Hashem, Hashem, Kiyosh. Okay, Hashem, Hashem. Okay. Then you think you're saying Slicha. Hashem, okay, Hashem. You're like, okay, what Hashem is. You know where you are, what Slicha you're up to. It's desperate. No, you're going down. I'll be on the ramp. Again, you guys get to be up front. We'll be all the way in the back of the bus. Okay, let's stop now. I'll answer your question privately. Ellie's going to start into.